They're turning some stuff down here. NARJD. W8FU.
M0RLK is listening through K8FEI. This is Mike Zero Romeo Lima Kilo listening through Kilo Echo. No, it's not. It's Kilo 8 Foxtrot Bravo India. For any calls and by? M0RLK is listening through K8FEI. This is Mike Zero Romeo Lima Kilo listening through Kilo 8 Foxtrot Bravo India. For any calls and standing by for any calls, over.
KAWOJ from NADDF.
Weather, eh?
Unfortunately, I was hoping to get outside today and hang out a bit, but that's not going to happen.
Well, it might. I was checking the radar. Looks like it's only going to be a couple more hours of rain.
Yeah, the weekend's not any good, but it looks like next week's going to be really nice.
Yeah, I imagine I'm alone in this one, but I kind of like this weather, other than the rain. Seems like every time I go north or Kansas, this is the kind of weather we got, so I'm kind of, I guess over the years, learned it was equated with being up north.
It doesn't bother me too much as long as it's not freezing cold.
Yeah, but sitting on the shore of the river or out in the boat, drenched all day, that's kind of a pain. But when I go to Canada, I don't really care. You know, you only got a certain amount of days to do it, so whatever the weather is, you got to go sit in it.
I equate this to duck hunting weather, so that's probably why I don't mind it either.
Yeah, that too. That's one thing I never really did much of. I think I did it once. Me and 3 or 4 other guys were on a private lake. And it was kind of fun. I don't know why.
I haven't been in 2 years, but plan on going this year. Also, I don't know if you're on your note, if you're on a repeater, but you're kind of coming in and out. You're getting pretty fuzzy.
No, I'm going RF to Warren. Let me connect the note. Oh, is this any better?
There you go. That's night and day.
Good. I figured on the I was sitting out on the porch with the handheld there. I could chunk the Warren, and it made it, so I thought, well, I'll try it, you know. And then I got in and got on the mobile here, and I thought, well, with 50 watts, I should be able to do it. But apparently not. I don't get out very far to the east.
Yeah, that's how I am over here. I basically have my repeater that I can work with and then Richmond, but even though Romeo's twice the distance closer, I still can't even really work that with an HD.
Yeah, I kind of wish I'd got into this node thing a lot. You know, when I first got my license, it was, a year and a half or 2 years before I started looking into nodes.
That's pretty much how I had to communicate exclusively, God, ever since I became a ham, until I put my own repeater up. And now it's the same thing, right? It's still a node. It's just a duplexer with more power.
Yeah, right. Oops, yeah, right. I got to wait a second and a half with this node before I start talking. It was the FBI, you guys, that got me looking into nodes. Just like you now with your 6.5 Creed there. I kept going, boy, he's pretty stuck on the 6.5 there. I got to look into this and see what it's all about. Curiosity killed the cat, you know?
Yeah, I've had a couple of them. I think I've had two or three. They've been good to me. I wagged a coyote with one. I had a savage that was actually really nice for being a savage. But at this point, I don't know. I'm either going to do a 6mm or I'm going to do a 243. I've narrowed it down to that.
Oh, that's interesting. I have a 243 match grade barrel on its way here. Should be here Wednesday.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, like you said, everyone's eating up 6mm. I don't really care to shoot 6mm over 243. It's not going to benefit me for what my intended use case is, and I'd rather just have the ammo variety and availability of the 243 over people buying the hot new caliber. I mean, at the end of the day, like, if I got my hands on a 6mm Creedmoor and it shot the Hornady, what are they, the 103s, ELDXs, I'd be totally content, but there's just so many options for 243, so that's probably what I'm going to end up with.
Well, it's a good choice, and especially for your situation there. Even though it is a barrel burner, regular hunting, you know, guys that just to use it hunting kind of thing, instead of target shooting and all the other stuff, and you're not doing a lot of load development, it's going to last you a long time without burning up the barrel.
Like I was telling you, I've got that 22-250 that's every bit of 8 or 9 years old, and that thing still shoots tight groups. It was a hunting rifle. I never went to the range with it. I zeroed it, and that was it.
Yeah, I know a few guys that hunt deer with a 22-250.
I thought about it. It just needs glass, and then I would have to get different loads for it because I'm shooting 50 grain Superformance, so that's probably not going to do too well on a deer, but I'd rather just get a dedicated round that's meant to do it.
Yeah, that's the best way. So I just kind of remembered this ammo shortage thing. It's a real deal, I guess. There's a supply chain problem. China, there's this alloy bullet, or alloy called, Anta something or other, anyway. Apparently, it's only found in China, and China has limited the export of it now. It's used to mix with lead to produce bullet cores. So that's hard to get now. Plus, the major OEMs are all busy on government contracts.
So what you're saying is I should start buying a couple boxes of 243 now.
Yes, exactly. Whatever caliber you set, you set your sights on, I'd get a little bit of ammo for it. But it's kind of a catch-22 because you don't know which ammo is going to shoot well till you get one. You know, so it's understandable if you don't. You know, that's what I like about the threaded barrels with barrel tuners. You can tune the barrel to whatever ammo you get, kind of thing.
At this point, it just has to be able to shoot 400 yards, and then I can worry about outside of that later. So I think with most factory ammo, I'll be able to achieve that.
Yep, that should be a pretty easy thing. So, well, cool. Yeah, like I told you, I had that Sako 243 varmint sitting here in the case there, and I shot the barrel out of that a long time ago. And I was trying to debate on either a 708 barrel or the 243, because for my deer rifles, I usually like to have a backup of the same caliber, you know. And I thought, well, geez, I got enough deer rifles now that, you know, 308, 708, the 350 Legend, you know. So I got all the dies and a lot of bullets, a lot of stuff for the 243, so I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and get another barrel for that, for the Encore.
No, I think that's a good choice. I think the 243 is well-rounded enough. And, you know, you can do pretty much everything with it except for big game. So that's why I like it. Like I was telling you, I don't want to jump into a 6.5, a 260, a 270 or any of that because it's just too big for what I'm going to do with it. I mean, a whitetail is going to be the biggest thing I'm shooting for the most part. But a 243 is more than capable of knocking down a mule deer, too, if I go do that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'm kind of curious, what type of hunting do you do? Do you hunt from a stand in a tree? Do you put a little hide alongside of some of them big farm fields kind of thing? Or do you stalk through the woods? Kind of curious.
You know, it really just depends on where I'm hunting and what time of year and stuff like that, what season. But that deer I shot last year at 300 with the 350, that was out of an elevated box blind. I've shot deer out of Millennium tripod stands. I've shot them out of tree stands. I've shot them off the ground. I've shot them off a tripod. I've shot them off my buddy's shoulder. I mean, it really just depends on where we're at and what we're doing.
Yeah, cool. So is there a particular rifle you're leaning toward?
So that's another reason I haven't done a lot of shopping is my buddy that I'm doing a bunch of work for and not charging him as a thank you. He's like, I'm going to get you a rifle built. So I shot his .22 Creed the other day, and I'm like, dude, if you're going to build me one, this is what I want. So it's a full-on proof rifle. It's carbon fiber stock, carbon fiber barrel, and I'm hoping that's what he's going to do, but I haven't heard anything yet. So I'll have to, when I give him the final deliverables, I'll have to be like, by the way, where's my gun?
Yeah, very cool there. Yeah, I can see why you're holding off there. And what caliber was it? I don't think I heard of that one.
He got a .22 Creedmoor built, and it's basically the exact same thing as his 6.5 PRC, just .22 Creed. And it weighs, the rifle dressed, I think unloaded, was 7.5 pounds.
Oh, nice. That's usually the weight of a bear rifle. You know, I had out of my BDAR bear. I mean, bear with no glass and any other goodies on it.
Yeah, he handed it to me, and I couldn't believe how light it was.
I bought a 700 mountain rifle in 708, and that was a nice light thing, 22-inch barrel. I don't know what it weighs now with the glass on it.
Also, it's got me excited about him building me one because I've, you know, it'll be a departure from everything else I have. Everything else I have is so damn heavy. My most practical rifle is my .223 Ruger American Gen 2, but by the time I put a can on it, it's got a 5-25 on it, and then it's in a Magpul chassis. I mean, the thing's probably every bit of 10, 11 pounds.
Yeah, I'm amazed. I've been watching a lot of the national and world champion F-class and PRS shooters and all this other stuff with their long-range stuff, and I found out that a lot of their rifles are like 13 pounds. I'd have to hire a caddy to carry that around the woods for me.
Yeah, that's literally my .22-250 when it had glass on it. I was like, this is just pointless. Every time I had to carry it around, it was a chore. And then I was carrying a giant tripod to support it, which I still use the same tripod, but it doesn't have the 13-pound rifle on it.
KCKKL.
Good morning, Tom. Go ahead and then pass it over to Dakota.
Morning, fellas. I'm talking about rifles and tripods and hunting squirrels today.
No, no hunting today, just talking about guns and stuff.
Yep, just dreaming about spending money.
Oh, like everyone, I do enough of that. Not on guns, though. Radios.
Yeah, thankfully I'm good. I think I'm good on radios at this point.
Well, I'm going to blame Dakota there. All this talk about shooting and groups and calibers, and it's got me all fired up again. I just ain't capable of doing much hunting anymore, so I'm kind of stuck in between a rock and a hard place. I even considered getting another rifle, and I thought, what for? I can't use the ones I got now. KEAWOJ, go ahead, Tom.
Well, you can always get an airsoft or a pellet gun, you know, where you live, and that way you can, you know, take out the varmints that are in your backyard eating the cat food.
Yeah, that's a whole other rabbit hole that I went down.
Well, Tom, I got that covered. I don't leave food out there. I only have food out there when I'm out there feeding the cat. So, but actually, I had a big old coon come up and try to weasel in on the food while I was there. And I kind of went at him, and he saw my size and just decided he was going to go elsewhere.
I was going to say, good. Because if he was coming up and he wasn't scared of you, that's the time that you want to call animal control.
That's a fact. All right, guys, I'm going to jump out of here. The kids are yelling at me. They want some breakfast. I'm on dad duty this weekend, but I will probably be out here later in the day. I'll catch you guys later. NADF.
Okay, Dakota, take care. It's good talking with you as always. Have a good, safe weekend. Tom.
And have a good one, Dakota. Keep them kitty. I'm going to be out and about today because I'm going to a job that I didn't finish yesterday. And they need it done, so I promise.
Boy, no rest for the wicked, eh? And I've had that happen with a crew. And I when I was living in Lapeer there, I come out the door, front door at night, and I was heading down the steps, and he was heading up the steps. And instead of taking off and running, he started hissing and was ready to fight. So I turned around, went back in the house, got a 410 pistol, 410 shotgun pistol that I got, and came back to the door and sent him to his maker.
Yeah, I had one when I lived in Romeo, and it was just coming around and shoot away, wouldn't go. It wasn't hissing or anything. I'm like, this thing isn't good. And so I got a cat carrier and I took it into the vet there in Romeo, told him what it was, and I said, you better wash your hands, use some sanitizer or bleach or anything else like that. Because it had rabies.
Oh, great. That's just what you need, eh? We had one time right here, and I don't know what it got into, but it went completely nuts. I went out the back here on the deck, and it was beside the deck on the ground, and it was spinning around, and it was laying down, and it was spinning around in circles like something you'd see on a cartoon, and just yelling and screaming, and he was going crazy. Something poisoned him, I guess, and it was nasty.
Or he was near the end, and, his brain was, doesn't it expand or something like that? I forgot what it causes, but, yeah, it just messed with him enough and couldn't do anything about it. So, yeah, that's probably what was happening with yours. That or he ate a spicy burrito.
Yeah, I like that. I think it was the burrito thing. No, I kind of thought at the time that he must have, sometimes cars overheat a little bit and some of the antifreeze boils out and drips down onto the pavement there in the driveway. And it's always a sweet smell, and sometimes wild critters will get up there and lick it all up kind of thing. But anyway, he was a mess. I was going to put him down, but a shot in this area is a felony. So we had to just kind of watch him, and after a few days, he kind of come out of it a little bit kind of thing, but he was messed up. I don't think he made it for very long.
wouldn't doubt it. Well, that's what the vet told us, is when I brought in that coon, they asked me if I had dogs and stuff. I said, yes, I do, and I got a bunch of animals. And they said they gave me all the proper cleaning materials, you know, clean my hands, clean my arms, and cat carrier, had to totally sanitize that with bleach and everything else. Yeah, it was a big process, and I had to let everybody know, and they were glad that I brought it in, because had he died somewhere in the yard, he would have infected other animals, and, you know, especially my dogs.
Well, cool, you did like out, did the right thing there. I saw a video one time of a fox that had rabies, and it was in a populated area, and he just went crazy. The same thing, they were trying to run him off, he wasn't going anywhere kind of thing, and a neighbor started leaving with his car, and he attacked the front end of the car, started biting into, not the bumper, but some of the trim and stuff around there, and ripped some of it off kind of thing, and I think the guy finally got tired of it and ran it over.
Gotta do what you gotta do, you know, because there's nothing you can do. Once they have it, that's it, you know, it's terminal, even for a human. I don't think there is a rabies vaccine, but you don't get it in time. You might as well just write your ticket.
Now, that's some new information about, you know, from the vet there, because I always thought they had to bite you to spread it around, but apparently not.
Well, on a dog, yeah, if a dog bites you, but, you know, a wild animal like that, you don't know where they've been and how it's been spread, how he got it. It could have been in his fur, got it from cleaning, you know, so just taking extra precautions.
Yeah, right. So what part of the state are you off to today, AEWOJ?
Oh, nowhere special. I'm going to Highland Park. I have a detention center that the intercom system's messed up and relays aren't working, and they can't unlock doors for personnel and everything like that. So, gotta go figure it out and reconfigure it. You know, because when we restored the database yesterday through their tech, you know, through the manufacturer's support, it jacked everything up.
Oh, great. Well, at least you're not going up to the upper end of Michigan there on a holiday weekend, so maybe you can get home and enjoy yourself a little.
No, I'll just say in due time I'll be doing that, because we just picked up another account, and Northwest Wisconsin doesn't want anything to do with it, so been shifted back down to us, and it's up there in Marquette.
Oh my gosh. Oh wow. Seemed like the service run up there is going to be an overnighter.
Oh, absolutely. And boss man already are you okay with that? Because my coworker, the one that's meeting me out in Highland Park today, he's got a place in Munising, so he says, we'll go up there, but we're staying at my place. And the boss is like, I don't care. As long as we get it done, that's all I care about. So not sure when it's going to happen just yet, but we got to get all our clearances back, all our E5s, you know, because it's been, what, 5 years? 4 years since we've been out there.
Well, if you got to go, Munising's a very nice place there. Wouldn't mind being there myself. Just a hop and a skip from Tequamanon Falls.
KTHKTO. Oh, it's beautiful up there. My daughter took me, you know, her boyfriend, my wife, and myself. We went to the Whitefish Point, something like that. up there where the Fitzgerald is.
Yep, you got it. I think it's Whitefish Point in Whitefish Bay, and they got a museum there, and I believe they got the bell from the Fitzgeralds in there.
Yes, the museum is really interesting, and yes, the bell is there, and it's pretty cool. You know, when you see the bell, it just makes you think, I guess. I mean, you can, a very solemn moment when you see the bell, I guess you could say.
Yep, I think one of my trips, we went to Tuquamanon and we passed through, leaving the Whitefish Point area kind of thing, but never did stop and never did get out to the point and museum there. But as far as I'm concerned, everywhere along Lake Superior, both our side and the Canadian side, is just gorgeous.
Yeah, we're planning on doing another trip this year, you know, once you get the new car. And we're going to go to the locks, go check that all out.
Oh, that's cool. There's a couple of cameras, online cameras, and every once in a while I get on there and watch some of the ships going through the locks.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that, too. I want to go visit the locks and see the freighters. I mean, they had this little, out of Port Huron, they have this, I want to say it's a river boat. But you could take this trip on the river there, on the Huron River, whatever it is, the channel. And you go underneath Blue Water Bridge, and it's really cool. They take you right up close to the freighters. And then you go through the rapids that are right there, you know, right under the bridge, there's rapids. So it's pretty cool. I enjoy doing that. And that was not that expensive.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. My dad took us when I was a little kid, real little kid, took the family up there to the locks, and I remember getting out and walking up and down the locks and checking out the freighters there. It was pretty cool. And then a few times when we drove into Canada on fishing trips, you know, you got to go right by there. There's a bridge that goes from Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan to Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario.
Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, it's a small tour. It's a couple hours. And you get on there, we take off from Port Huron from the dock. And then we travel down one side and hear the history of Port Huron. And then you kind of circle back around and you go on the Canadian side and go right up to where these freighters are sitting. And I forgot what other buildings are there. Then you cruise underneath the bridge and go all the way up to the mouth of Lake Huron, right up to the lighthouse there, and then turn around and come back, you know, and redock. But it's nice, it's quiet, it's enjoyable. So I might do that again this year.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. I read and saw somewhere that they also have these good size, like tour boats. They go wandering around the ocean with anyway, on Lake Michigan, and they have evening dinners. they go out, you know, they load up with a bunch of people, and they go out in the lake somewhere and cruise around. The shoreline's visible apparently. And have a nice dinner, cruise around in the moonlight, stuff, and then back. Same kind of thing, I guess. KAWOJ.
Hey, Joe. Hey, I want to go take a ride on the Badger just one time. You know, drive over there, get on it, take the Badger over, go around the, you know, go around on the west side of the lake there, and then turn on and come back. I'm not sure how long it takes the Badger to go from Michigan to, what is it, Wisconsin or Illinois, wherever it goes. But I want to check that out.
Yeah, Wisconsin, and I didn't know it was called the Badger there. I was always curious about that trip, too. It seemed like it would be kind of nice.
Yep, they just fired up their boilers within the past week, so she's steaming up and getting ready to go. Yeah, I want to check it out. Yeah, I think it's called the USS Badger.
I was coming home from Montana one time, and I had spent some of my money in a little goodbye festival there in the bar in Montana, and I only ended up with enough money left to get an Amtrak ticket to Milwaukee. So I had to get out of the Amtrak in Milwaukee, and I thought, well, I got to hitchhike around through Chicago and all that kind of stuff to get, you know, get home, or maybe I could sneak on that ferry. But luckily, my dad came and picked me up.
You're a regular Boxcar Willie there.
Yeah, I had a backpack and a stove and cooking stuff and food and clothes and sleep, you know, all that to keep me alive. But it's a drag, dragging that thing around all over the place, sticking your thumb out. I was starting to try to hitchhike out of there, and it was a Sunday night. Man, there was nobody on the roads, and then the ones that were aren't picking up no strangers, you know.
Do you have a cardboard sign that says Florida or bus?
Yeah, right. So the old man come to get me, pick me up. He got into CB radio at the time, and he had some enormous kicker in the car kind of thing and wanted home. And I don't know, we got about halfway home, and he started relaying messages through CB to my mother at home. She'd do it if the old man told her to, but anyway, they were relaying messages back and forth. It was pretty cool. I was kind of impressed.
Oh, radiogram.
Yeah, something like that. And I was trying to move to Montana there. I got into some government thinning work up in the mountains, and that is, anyway, you can't make enough money doing that to live on kind of thing. So, anyway, I looked all over for work, and as soon as they found out you weren't born and raised there, they didn't want nothing to do with you. So, on my way home, I headed. And I got home, and the same day I got home, I got a job on a carpenter crew. So, I guess it was a good move.
Yeah, carpenter. That's what my son does. He's a rough carpenter. No, wait, he's a finisher. That's right. He's a finisher. He's the one that's with an eye for detail and lines up cabinets and, you know, wood paneling and facades and stuff like that. As far as I know, he still enjoys it. I haven't talked to him in a couple months.
Yeah, I was a rough carpenter. I built a lot of custom homes and stuff. And I enjoyed it too, but I didn't enjoy the winters off, you know. And one year, the boss decided, well, we're going to try to work through the winter kind of thing, and that was a big mistake, you know. You get a lot of snow, and you've got boards with nails in it, and you can't see them because of the snow, and you're up two stories, and you're on the top plate walking around full of ice kind of thing, trying to carry lumber, and it just wasn't a good time to be out there and building a house. And I, you know, after I saw what happens, I'd never buy a house that was built in the winter.
Oh, why not? Because then when the summer hits, everything expands and fills it up nice and tight.
Well, maybe, but about halfway through the winter, I said, well, I've had enough of this, and I quit. I had a girlfriend living with me, and she was making some real good money. She says, oh, that's okay. I'll take care of us, you know. Okay.
Well, there you go. All right, sir. I'm about to pull into this destination. I'll be in here for a while.
Tom, good luck with your work, and hopefully you get it done quick and get back home. And you have a good, safe weekend. We'll catch you later. T-A-E-W-O-J.
8-FBI.
Yeah, you got a call sign there. You're making a trip, but the audio is kind of bad.
Hey, Rick, is this any better?
Yeah, you got a call sign?
Yeah, Rick, it's Sean, W8FU. Is this any better?
Oh, God, yeah, okay. Yeah, I recognize you now. Yes, quite a bit. There's some kind of noise, like a transformer noise or something coming with you.
Okay, how about this? Is this any better audio? Testing 1, 2, 3.
No, the previous one was a little better.
Okay, we've got a radio here. I don't know where the microphone is, but I think we think it's right here. So this is as good as it gets, but we'll have to go in and see if we can boost it up. So this is a, one of them, I think it's a DM32.
Yeah.
It's one of them DM32 Bofangs. Looks like a Motorola APX. All right, let me, we're in the restaurant with the guys here. Hope you're feeling better. Catch you in a few. Going to be out your way today. W8FU.
Yeah, that's probably usable. You could carry on conversations with that. And say hi to all the gang there in the cozy cabin there, and we'll catch you later. AEWOJ.
Hey, Rick, just out of curiosity, is this any better? I'm on the same radio, but somebody else's.
Yes, sir. I was in the other room, and I could clearly hear you. And I was just thinking that myself that I heard a lot of other than Bofang DMs, and they had really good audio.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. And he's got the analog audio, mic audio set to 5, the highest level it can go.
Right.
Yeah, that's an opposite scale, like level of attenuation. But yeah, I'm on jacks right now, and This one's significantly better. Okay, we're going to investigate it a little bit more. W8FU, and our food's here.
Okay, good luck. We'll catch you later. K-A-W-O-J.
W8BD. N-H-W-R-O. Good morning, Wally. What's up? Well, it's raining, so I can't mow the lawn. Not happy about that. I get about 3/4 of it done this week, and I've still got the back half of the yard, but that's okay. I like the electric lawnmower. I can go out, do pieces and parts of it, and still go back to work and not stink like gas. Hey, you want to meet at the golf course at about 10?
Yes, sir. That'd be fine with me. If that would be to get it over with, that'd be great. We can do a handoff there.
Okay. I'll make that work. I'm getting dressed right now. So I'll see you there. You know, the one on County Line, not the one up by 32 Mile, the one that as you're heading towards 26.
Oh, yeah, that's where Little Camille's is at, the restaurant, the halfway point from your place to my place, yeah. No worries. I can be there at 10. I'll have this on in the mobile and statewide one, too.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, yeah, I'll just call you on this one. It'd be a lot easier. We'll go from there. All right, see you at 10.
Understood. N-A-W-R-O, clear.
Thank you.
Tim, I got to run back home real quick and make sure I'm not doing that. WZD.
Copy that. No worries.
Hold on, and I'm pretty sure I turned it off before I left, but I'll make sure it's not me. W8FU.
So you claim.
Anyhow, the reason that, Meyer, like I told you, the reason that one's always so low is because they're competing with the Sheets. So be curious to see what Sheets is going for over there.
Yeah, I got some minor points, though, but I don't think I have enough to accomplish anything.
I think I got enough for 50 cents, so, yeehaw.
Yeah, I might try it also, just to see.
Of course, I could hand you the pump. I could fill up to my point, and then I can hand you the pump, and then you can pay me for the difference.
Oh, there's a thought.
Yeah, my son and I used to do that a lot. I'd say, dude, I gotta fuck off. Meet me at the Meyer. We'd park back to back or side to side or whatever so we could coordinate our doors. And as soon as I got done, I'd hand it over and he'd fill up. Worked out pretty good.
You have to do without putting it back in the thing, though, right? So it's one charge.
Yeah, exactly. So the whole thing would get charged to me, and then you just find a way to pay your part of it.
Can't do it now.
W8. I'm sorry. Did somebody just ask me where Livernoy was? She's in the wrong area.
It is I, Walter.
Can you get to the Myers off at 12 Mile, or you got to go make the turn around their mound?
I turn in right there by the, there's a bank, and it's that first entrance you can make there, and then I snake through the lot. But you do got to snake through the Meyer parking lot, which is a pain.
Yeah, well, we can do it off 12 Mile, or I got to go off mound?
I turn in the right before the complex off of 12 Mile Road. And so I can't remember what's right there. I do it by road anymore.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Oh, the credit union. All right, I'm in there. So you're saying I can get to the Myers from here?
Yes, you can. What the hell is going on here? Oh, there they are. Yes, you can. Just, you gotta snake through and you gotta, probably going behind the Myers be best, but I don't know.
W-A-D-D.
Hey, Wally.
Morning, everyone. Heading to go meet Tim. Is there again there? Thought I'd say hi.
Okay, where's, I see the gas pumps. Okay.
I'll wait to make sure you get the other side of this pump from me. We're trying to coordinate something here, Wally.
No worries.
Yeah, don't worry about it, because I still want it. I want it on my own cart, so I'll do my own.
All righty, then. No problem. I'm going to get out and get some gas here.
Okay. I'm behind the station here. Oh, okay. I see how to get there. I am here. KPR.
Hey, Tim. W-80.
Yes, sir. You know, they have breakfast here on Sunday mornings. I gotta try that.
Let's go in. I'll go for an egg and a coffee. I'm just clearing the light right now. Sorry about that. I don't know if it was my note or not. It said it was disconnected, but I just unplugged it.
That's on Sunday. They got nothing now. It's crickets. Nobody's here. A couple cars. But, yeah, I might want to try this on Sunday. I haven't been to their buffet yet. But, yeah, no worries, Wally. I got, you know, George is retiring, the guy from Village Cafe there. So, brother-in-law Dave and Yvonne, they're in town, so I think we're going to go there for breakfast this morning. Say goodbye to George.
Okay, you got to speak up a little for some reason. I don't know what's going on today. I'm just having all sorts of radio communication problems. All I heard was doo-doo-doop, doo-doo-doop, and I thought, okay, maybe that's my box because I was playing with it a little bit this morning. And I went in the house and I looked, and it was disconnected, but I unplugged it. And you kept hearing the repeater go in and out, in and out, in and out, correct?
Yes, I did. I wanted to get to the website to see, you know, like where it's coming from, but it wasn't quick enough and it stopped, so.
Yeah, well, I was using my nose this morning for a little bit, and I unhooked it when I left the house, you know, via the all-scan, the all-scan board on my own personal one. And then I'm driving out of the subdivision, I kept hearing it go, you know, blah, 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 and I'm going, okay, I know I was screwing with it this morning and using it. I'm thinking, okay, I wonder if it was something I did. I didn't even look at it, I just pulled the cord, so I got to go back home and see if it was doing it. So, but I did look at the dashboard before I left and make sure it was unhooked, so who knows. I'm at Meisner Road or Meisner Road or some darn road here. Hey, maybe we could get 9 in. I'm sure they got open tea times today.
NHWRO, not in this weather. Not going to happen. What else? Oh, yeah, that was interesting on the, I don't know if you saw on the Discord, that question that Tom had about how the ump was connected when he did the, well, he was just in Durand, and that's another Micon repeater, so they're connected that way, so that's how that happened. That was interesting.
Yeah, I don't follow that all. There's no way that could happen. I don't know what it was unless he was just skippity-da-doing all the way over because the frequencies were the same or something of that nature. I have no clue how that all happened. I thought this place did serve breakfast. No, the lights are out.
NHWRO.
Everybody.
Oh, crap. Did you pay attention to the sheets?
Yeah, sorry I didn't see that. Yeah. I got Wally on the other one. You got P25 with you?
No, I'm going to be out of range most of the time, so I just didn't bother.
We can chat over here for a second.
Just told Wally to jump over here.
All right.
And he did. Yeah, all I got in here is fusion and analog, so I'm going to be out in Walled Lake, so there's very little MI5 or P25 out there, so I figured why bother.
Well, the VHF has got a receiver out there. It works really well out there. What was it saying? Oh, the sheets. Yeah, I saw that. A penny cheaper. Damn. I could have saved 10 cents.
Thought you got a penny off with your Myers discount.
No, it turned out I didn't. I looked at the other pump. It was $418.9. So, oh, well. Wally, where'd you go?
Where'd you go, Wally?
I'll be right back. I'm talking to Tim, WABD.
What are you talking to him on?
Face to face.
Oh, a super secret form of communication. Okay. I just saw, I'm back here by the restaurant. I was looking at these other stations, the Sunoco and the BP. I wonder what they're going to do when the seats open. Is she going to come up to their price, or are they going to have to drop down to this? Or are they going to come in lowball? I'm sure they will at first.
Oh, yeah, no, Sheets always comes in pretty low. And then some places try to match and others don't. It all depends. Meijer, we're lucky to have that Meijer right there, kitty corner from the Sheets, because Meijer's matches and then you get your points. So that makes for about the best deal you can get.
Yep. Competition's a good thing. So, I don't know why everybody bitches about these Sheets opening up. I think it's a good idea. Yeah. Hey, have you ever had a tire sensor fault? I've got one that keeps popping up in and out. I think those things have batteries in them, and they probably have to be replaced eventually. You know anything about those?
I've never really had a problem with one. Just didn't like what it was reporting, but it was accurate.
Yeah, when it works, it's accurate, but it keeps going on and off. It will run for a while, and the alert clears, and then next day it's back on again. So I'm thinking it's probably a low battery situation. I mean, I've had this now for, when did I get this car? Had this car for 7-8 years. Probably about time for that. Oh, this is one of those white on black plates. It's the past one. And it's funny, I'm sitting here at a light and there's four different Michigan license plates here at the light. it's too many.
Man, now I feel this guy was pushing me off, hemming and hawing about me getting there before, noon, and now I feel like he's pushing me. Are you coming?
Yeah, well, has he got a lot of other people beating down his door?
I don't know, but I wanted to go last night. He said no, and then I said, well, how about the morning? And he said, well, not too early. And I said, well, what time's good? And he said, well, I have a thing I do, in the morning, and, usually at least till 10. I go, I have breakfast that goes till 10. I go, I'll get on the road right about then. So, it's 45 minutes out. So, okay, that sounds good. And then he called me a little bit ago, and he's like, are you coming?
Yeah, I find communicating on Facebook is crazy. I mean, you try to get answers, and people either ghost you, you ask them a question, I'm interested in this, but, blah, 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 and you don't get an answer. And then they say other things. I don't know, it's very frustrating trying to find a good person to communicate with.
You got me.
Okie dokie. I have to run in the bank here. I do it at the ATM, but they don't supply the denominations that I desire. So we'll be back momentarily. W8FU.
What's up, Philip? I'm back. I was talking with Tim. I gave him back a radio I programmed for him.
All right, sounds good. Now let's go home to finish programming my beats.
Did you get those two decks to talk to each other yet?
No, I don't have the right head. The head I had is defective. I sent him. The guy agreed to just give me a refund. I sent it back to him, and I bought it. I found another one on eBay. It should be here on Wednesday. Once I get that head, there's only two heads that work with the dual band setup, and the two that Sean gave me don't do it. So I've got them all set up as standalone right now, so I can program them and test them.
How much was the head?
Like $250.
A
Okay, there was a trick where you could take and move a jumper around and turn an XLT-25 into a XLT-5000 head. I don't know if you know about that or not.
No, I know nothing about the XLTs, but this is APX.
No, I got that, but the XLT and the EX share a lot of the same hardware. The XLT-5000 was kind of like, shares a lot of stuff with the APX, because they were getting ready to migrate over. So, but that's fine. You're looking for a straight-up 05 control box.
Well, the two heads that work are the 07, which is the one I had, and I'm getting a replacement for that, or an E5. I would actually like to have an E5, I think. It's got more buttons. Apparently, you will show both bands simultaneously. But they're up the wazoo for price, so I will keep my eye open for one at a reasonable price. If I find one, I will get that and sell the other one.
Oh, very good. And I also have, and I don't know if you can convert this or not, but I do have all the possibilities of the UHF simplex frequencies. And when I program up XPRs for people, I have one zone that, actually the guy, I kind of borrowed it, stole it, the guy out in, Grand Rapids, forget his name, he's really big in ARPSC over there. He had one zone that I got purchased the radio off of him, and he had two zones that had all the possibilities of every simplex VHF frequency, and I could send that to you if you want. I checked, UHF.
No, it's no big deal. I can, I got, 446 in there, and then, it's no big deal. I had a few more. I don't really know what other UHF simplex people use. Plus, I have front panel programming if I need to change it.
Okay. That's fine. I mean, I just thought it was there if you wanted it. It's only like 30 channels or something like that. You could have a zone that way if you wanted. And what I do is I just put it in a separate zone. I don't think anybody ever uses it, but in case they had to, I've got it.
I guess the API went down. You got me here?
Not as good.
I'm out of Richmond right now.
Which way are you heading?
Home.
Okay. All right, I'm going to swing in here to Tim Hortons and grab me some halfway decent coffee. Oh, God, look at this. Me and everybody else decided to do this. All right, I'll be back, buddy. WAB.
All right, that's 60 back up. So what were you saying about, I mean, other than the 446 simplex, what other simplex do you really use?
DMR, we got a couple we use for our ARPSC simplex DMRs, but that wouldn't help you. I don't know, like I said, it's just in case. It was like, I have all of them. So if you wanted to build a zone with all of them in it, if you had to go someplace, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that radio will hold, what, 1,500 frequencies or some damn thing in 256 zones. I was just going to say, if you want, as long as you're programming it, you might as well have one zone with all the simplex frequencies in it. Just leave it parked there in case you ever need it.
Yeah, I thought about that, but it's not a big deal. Yeah, I've got on this radio, which is the Anytone. It's I've got all a bunch of digital or DMR simplex frequencies in here too. So yeah, I know what you're talking about, but that wouldn't do me any good on the Motorola.
All this P25 stuff starting and everybody's starting to get it. Maybe we can start enhancing that a little bit.
Well, because you can do talk groups and stuff.
Yeah. I guess somebody now makes, take this, somebody now makes a small software
couple Raspberry Pis, and if you can get three or four radios, somebody now makes a trunking system for amateur radio. But, you know, then again, how many repeaters are you going to need? You know, that could get expensive quick. But I did see a YouTube video where somebody has done that.
Yeah, well, it's that much different. I'm not sure would that be advantageous. I'm not, the whole point of trunking is, you know, you can have simultaneous conversations between two people at the same time. I mean, amateur radio, it's always, you know, one to many. I'm not sure what the advantage of that would be.
Just talk groups, you know, it would just change talk groups realistically when you're talking something like that. I don't know, I just thought it was kind of neat that he reverse engineered it, that's all.
What did they reverse engineer?
Somebody made a little trunking system on their own, a bunch of little P25 radios and a couple Raspberry Pis, and they made their own little, you know, I mean, nothing funny, nothing illegal, but they made their own little trunking system for amateur radio.
It'd be a fun exercise, but, you know, the problem is I come late to the party here, so, you know, trunking was a solution to a problem we don't have. We actually want less of that. You know, whereas the problem they were trying to solve is that there were many, many people that needed to communicate to a very specific closed group, and there was a finite number of channel resources, so it was an effort to get more. There's too much talking on too few resources. We have the opposite problem. We have too little talking on too many resources. So trunking is a fun exercise for us, but not really something.
Yeah, that's the point I was making. Let's see if I got it. Yeah, exactly. We're one to many where they're just, they had issues trying to just have one person talk to another person. I used to have that issue with when I was on a community repeater for my business. You know, everybody's on the same channel with different PLs, and they're not technically, they don't understand what PL is. And, you know, they say, what are you doing on my channel? You know, I had the ability that nobody else had was to change PLs and talk to these people. And I used to yell at someone saying, it is not a private channel. You must, you know, and they say, why are you on my channel? I said, it's not your channel. And then we upgraded to an LTR trunking system, and all that issue went away. So it definitely has its place. But here, I'm not so sure. Well,
no, I wasn't advocating doing anything like that. I understand it fairly well. I was just saying that I saw a YouTube video where some ham guy had done this with a couple Raspberry Pis, and I thought, oh, wow, somebody has got some great technical abilities to do something like that. I think he had six radios there, six, you know, smaller mobile P25 radios. I think he had like six there, but I just thought, wow, good for you. You know, I do agree, yeah, we don't need it, and imagine the cost of that at every freaking site. I mean, that would be terrible, and then you got to sink them. You know, it would be way, it, you know, somebody would have to have millions of dollars in it when it's all said and done. But I just thought to myself, wow, that was pretty cool that somebody was able to reverse engineer it. And that's where you walked in, Sean. Go ahead.
Hold on, I'm having some navigational issues here. I want to make absolutely sure I'm on the right path. Oh, wait, I am. Where were we?
The dude that reverse engineered it.
Everything I do with my new phone requires, allow permissions. It's like, because it's new, so it's like, oh, navigation. Well, guess what? You know, first time you ran it, so I got to answer a bunch of questions and all this other stuff. Oh, Apple CarPlay. First time I ran that, I got to answer a bunch of questions. And it's like, music's playing. Do you want that to happen? You know, it's like, so I'm sure within a week, most of these things will be figured out, but it seems like everything I do pops up something new.
Android's the same way.
Yeah, they're all worried about security. Mine did something strange this morning. Mine turned around and just updated itself right about 10 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock. It just updated it. Usually it waits till the middle of the night. I didn't tell it to do anything. I looked at it, and it's updating. And it was a major update. I mean, I was really surprised it just went ahead and did it. Phil? Sean. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about it. I'm just, it's just, you know, the reality. I've got to deal with it because it's new. And they are, I'm going to be a little distracted because they are having me get off on the service drive at 11 Mile Road and then run along the freeway because the ramp's closed. So they're going to have me doing something I don't know. I have a good idea. I know what they're going to have me do, but I want to pay attention here. So I might be a little distracted.
Yeah, I know what they're doing. So, that's exactly it. I'm probably going to go up to 11 Mile, cross over, go back down the service drive, get back on again, go to Woodward or something. Whatever. Anyways, yeah, you got to do all that security stuff. My wife is somehow, she created a pattern lock on her phone. And I said, well, wait a minute, how did that happen? He said, well, something came up and I made a pattern. And I said, well, I would have had to ask you twice. You know, you would have had to do it twice to confirm it. Why didn't you just stop there? I don't know. So, and she couldn't remember it, and we tried everything she could try. I had to end up doing a total reset, you know, wipe the phone clean, start over. What a pain. And
I just saw a guy drive by me from over here in Tim Horton's parking lot. His license plate was KT9DD. Now, I ask you, do you think that's an amateur plate, or do you think that just happened? John?
I think that's going to be a ham plate. You never know, though. The T is kind of like got me scratching my head. But in this vanity world, who knows? It was like the guy I was behind in the bank when I was, like, ran into the bank a few minutes ago. He was, AL8. Whoa. Boy, I don't like that. Man, they said use the right two lanes. I should have known this, but they sure waited to the last minute to tell me stay to the right.
Yeah, I didn't know exactly where you are. I just put in KT9DB in the big database. It doesn't exist.
Oh, that was quick. That was answered. I just saw the plate there by me. You know, he had to get by me real close. For some reason, everybody and their brother is at Tim Hortons. And out of all the coffee shops, this one's my least favorite. Yeah, I think I know where you're at too, Sean. I had the same darn thing. It's all of a sudden, poof, and there's the exit.
Yeah, so like I said, it's probably when you go parallel, and service drive is 696, I mean it's 75 and cross over and then back down.
Yeah, it's what I thought they were going to do, but the problem is, you know, it's unchecked, it's kind of unfamiliar to me, so, you know, but it's what I thought. You know, they had me run the service drive from 11 Mile Road, and then they had me cross over to the service drive to 696, and now in a mile here, it's going to have me get on. I don't know if that's going to be Woodward or what. I think it may be at Woodward they're going to have me get back on. Wherever. A mile from where I'm at now, I am at Campbell? I think it just passed Campbell. Anyhow, bottom line is they're going to have me get back on here in a mile.
I got to go. I'm out for a little bit. Keep here.
All right, we'll see you in a bit. Hang loose, Wally. I'm going to call this guy, let him know I'm finally underway. Give him an ETA.
Talk soon, WAVD.
Man, I'll tell you what, Wally, have you ever, like, felt like just, I don't know what it is, but it's just just unrelenting, everything just happening. It's all small stuff, but it's just like, you know, and then finally, okay, check, got, you know, stop, made the bank stop, made my coffee stop, got through this traffic thing, did this, that, and then got my phone set up, my phone was acting weird, and it's like, now I finally got it all done, and I'm getting on the freeway, and it's like, all of a sudden you get this kind of like, now I can just drive.
You were on your way to go get that radio, correct? That's where you're heading?
Correct.
I looked at that last night. That was nice. I did find a power supply for it on eBay.
Almost perfect. This guy in front of me is a little... He's having his moment. But I think he's finally figured out what he needs to do. So we're all getting on the expressway here amongst all the orange barrels in an effort to get where I'm going. But, yeah, did you actually look at the eBay or the listing, or did you just find, other information on it?
I did both. I did look at the listing, and it looks like the exact same one as the video that you sent me, but they wanted, like, $250 for it, and $30 shipping or something like that. So I don't know if you were willing to spend that kind of coin on it or not. But it did look like a perfect match, and I'm willing to bet you the audio on that is going to be top-notch.
Well, it's more a nostalgic thing, you know, a boat anchor thing to match, you saw the pictures they sent, I got everything else, you know, and that was always going to be a luxury if I found one. And then, as you saw, the price is right, so, all the cards align, price is right, it's that piece that I always wanted to add. Would I like to get the matching supply? Yes, I would, but I saw a couple of them for $1.50. And I don't know if there was any shipping involved with that, but I'll keep my eye peeled for one. I'm not going to pay that. But I'd probably buy one at $100. So it's just FYI, just to have it.
How many watts do you think that is? Just asking, and then I'm assuming it runs off 12 volts, you know, really clean 12-volt power.
That's my assumption. By the way, let me know if I get noisy. I'm in the tunnels on 696 here.
You're actually not doing too bad for where you're at.
Let me see if I can... Oh, wait, TJ's machine is down, isn't it?
You're still not doing too bad.
Anyhow, what's on your agenda for today? I got to make this run, and then after that, really nothing on the agenda.
I'm not really sure. I might think around with my All-Star node. I think my All-Star node was there popping on and off your repeater. I'm not sure if I was doing it or not, but I was trying to get it perfected a little bit better, and I disconnected before I left the house, and then I kept hearing the repeater go in and out, kind of like the song, and then I was wondering if that was me, and I was running late to meet up with Tim, so I just went and unplugged the darn thing, so I might think with that for a little bit. Marion has got, I think I said something to you earlier about that one, maybe today's her Mother's Day. Her and all her kids and her sister are going to the tea house in New Baltimore, which is kind of a nostalgic thing. So they're all going to go celebrate Mother's Day. So that'll be good. So I'm going to be alone for a while. So I'll think of something. There's always things going on in my mind.
By the way, when you get some time to play with the computer phone, I'm going to have you enter in some credentials for the network, because I'm locking everything down, and I got tired last night, and I didn't want to deal with it anymore. I got to the point where I can lock it all down, but I don't want to lock it all down. I want one very specific point of entry, and I'm going to have to get some credit for it.
Okay, that'll work. I also was going to... All those tape radios that I have, I was going to build one of those for Dakota. He wanted to experiment with the P25 a little bit to see if he would have coverage. I told him I'd let him try one of them out. It's got a bad display on it, but I can only put two or three channels in it and let him see if it works for him, you know. an outside antenna, and I think these things are 40 watts, so he might be able to pull it off.
That sounds good. Yeah, see if he's, can work it from out there. It'd be good to have him on there. Oh, by the way, on the repeater phone thing, there's nothing secret about it, so it's, but I'm going to have everybody connect to private node 1020. That's where the radio-less connections come in. They're going to connect to 1020. And as long as you use the kfbi.servebeer.com, it'll go there and find it. And you can do that by going to favorites, and then you click plus, and it'll let you add a favorite. And,
you're almost at the end of your rope, and I'm home, and I got her a bagel, so I'm going to go bring that in the house, and I'll chat with you a little bit later, and I'll call you when I can get my phone in front of me, and we'll talk on the back phone or something, and we'll figure that out, get the repeater phone going. Yeah, there's a handful of us that really like repeater phones, so, all right, we'll talk later. W8CD, clear up here.
All righty. Give me a call if you got a minute on the bat phone, and I'll walk you through it. I'm going to be out here in the wind for an hour or two, but I can talk while I drive. It's pretty simple. Later, WNFU.
Yeah, if
you
need help, I got the good pieces.
That audio was really low. I didn't get to my volume control in time.
I said if you need help, I got the good pieces turned on, too.
Much of that, but if I need help, question mark, I've got the question mark, I'm sure that, I don't know.
This is KF8.
Hey, Wally, are you around? Anybody around? W8FU.
NAWRO, Richmond Base. Go ahead, Sean.
Hello, Tim Tron. I'm just showing off a repeater phone. Somebody was inquiring about All-Star nodes and all that good stuff, so we're just chit-chatting. So how's everything up in Richmond?
Hey, good now. I just got a handoff from Wally on the 800 and then stopped for breakfast. So all is well here. Village Cafe. George there is retiring, so we didn't end up doing it today, but we're going to go say goodbye to him sometime this week. All is well. NAWRO.
All right, well, that sounds delicious and all good. So, okay, Tim, thanks for the check. I'm going to jump out of here and get back to what I was doing. We'll catch you when I get back on the road. Sears W8FU.
NAWRO.
W8FU.
Sue, this is
What's shaken?
Well, in case you didn't know, the sheets is at 421. Not bad. But I got a new truck about 3 weeks ago. And a couple weeks ago, I was at Costco on a Monday morning to top off the gas tank because it was about 3/8 full. And hold on a second. I got to turn down the HT in the other room. Okay, so anyway, I'm at Costco pumping gas in my truck. and I was at 3/8 pulling in, and my last truck was about 21-ish plus or minus gallon tank. So I figured I'd probably be putting in about 14 gallons. And you might recall the Casco pumps kind of pump slower than the average pump, if you will. So I'm standing there waiting, kind of daydreaming, and then I'm realizing, you know, the thing's been pumping for a while, so I look, and it's already got over 20 gallons going, and I'm like, what the heck? I'm looking underneath the truck to see if it's leaking out or something, and it's still pumping. It finally finishes. So later that afternoon, I get on Google to look up the spec, because for some inexplicable reason, there's all kinds of information missing out of my owner's manual, including the size of my gas tank. It's a freaking 36-gallon tank.
Oh, my God. That's a monster. I mean, the nice part is you can fill it up and make it to California.
Yeah, it definitely is a lot longer between fill-ups. And my little range indicator says I have almost 500 miles of range on a full tank.
Yeah, that's crazy. You really want to take advantage of the Meyer points if that thing's... Wait till it's bone empty, and I Meyer pointed this today at the one right there by you. It was 418 normal price, or 418 normal price, because they are, you know, their price matching the, you know, the still the sheets, and then I got 50 cents off that, so I topped off a fairly thirsty car, pretty much empty. At $3.68 a gallon, so I can't complain.
Yeah, you really kill it with those Meyer points. I get the 10 cents off a gallon thing at Meyer, but at Costco I also get an additional 5% back on the gas price. That was something new that they started in the last year, because they never used to do that for Costco gas.
Well, I'm going to, since you turned me on to that Meyer point thing, I'm going to, you know, as long as they're going to be duking it out with Sheetz, and as long as Sheetz is going to be the loss leader in the area, then that'll be my go-to. I've got a BP card that lets me get 20 cents off their low price, like, you know, but I haven't, ever since you told me about the Sheetz BP, Sheetz Meyer War, I haven't been there. But I didn't have quite enough for a dollar off last time, so last time I got 50 cents off. I still had I was close though, so I only had to make one shopping trip to get it back up to 500 points for another 50 cents off. But now I'm down. I've depleted it pretty low, so it's going to be a while. I'm going to make a few shopping trips. We don't shop all that much. I just had a lot of points there. You know, I lose them quite often, so I got to make a real effort to use them or lose them. But I have gotten lucky a few times, as you pointed out, and gotten 50 cents off the Sheetz competitive price. So it's made for a couple of pretty good fill-ups.
Sweet. Yeah, definitely keep tapping that while it's happening, because it's, you know, it's going to be a limited time thing. Yeah, the Sheetz by Menards today too was also about 421. In other news, when I bought my pickup truck, well, I'm actually leasing it. This is my very first lease, so we're going to see how that goes. And the salesperson had told me that with the Coyote engine, the V8, that it did not have start-stop. Well, lo and behold, I get the truck, and guess what? It has start-stop. And it does have a button, so you can disable it, but try to remember to do that every single time you start the truck is kind of a pita. So a week ago, I broke down and spent almost $50 and got a little inline always-off blocker thingy that goes in line with the harness on the ECU. It was super easy to install, and I'm really happy that I don't have to remember to push the button anymore.
And this is really for my edification, edumacation. What is it about start-stop? I know it's a little unnerving, but is there anything about it in particular you don't like it for? I got it on this car. Sometimes it runs, sometimes it doesn't. I don't know. No rhyme or reason. I think if the start-stop battery you know, is not where it wants, it disables it or something. I don't know, but aside from being a little unnerving sometimes, is there something in particular about it you avoid doing it? For some reason I should be considering?
Several things, actually. I mean, right off the bat, the whole start-stop process is now cycling your starter and your battery dozens of times more a day than it would normally do, thereby prematurely wearing those items out. And I find it just a little unnerving that when I'm taking off from a stop sign or stoplight that it takes that second or whatever to figure itself out to start it up. And then other things, you know, if the truck's not running, then your AC isn't going to be working, you know, because your fan's not running or whatever. I mean, your AC unit's going to be running, but the condenser's not going to be being cooled because your engine's not running. And the other thing is the EPA has finally since found out that start-stop doesn't really save any significant amount of gas, and they're not going to be requiring it on future vehicles from here on out.
Yeah, I'm all about that. I've never really felt that it, you know, I mean, maybe some very, very specific kind of drivers, like if you're in Chicago, you got to deal with the parking lot every single day where you might be sitting for, you know, long periods of time. Maybe those very specific users would get some small, you know, advantage. But I just figured for the most people, it didn't really matter one bit, you know. So, I agree with all that. The biggest one for me is the wear and tear. You know, why should my car be starting and stop, you know, starting all the that many times, putting all that much more wear on stuff. But other than that, it didn't bother me too much. But mine's got the button I can disable when I jump in the car. But like you say, I got to remember to do it. So, and as far as the lease goes, I think you'll like it. You know, as long as you're not going to go over the miles they give you, you'll be golden. And if you go too far under, chances are you can get that back in the end. Either your vehicle is going to be worth way less than the residual in which you won, okay? Turn it in and just be happy. Walk away. Say, sucks to be you. Or your residual is worth, or your car is worth way more than the residual. And, you know, and your really low miles could play into that. And then, it's, you know, then sell the thing and pocket the one for a down payment on your next one or whatever. So I just think as long as you don't exceed, if you exceed, there's almost no way around it. They're going to bend you over.
Well, I got a 7,500 mile per year lease because I only put on about 3,000 a year anyway ever since I retired. I just don't really go anywhere. Just it's all local, bopping around and doctor's appointments and stuff. So I just don't put on a lot of miles. I did go up a significant trim level, though. I got the, it's another F-150. I got the Lariat. And boy, does it got all kinds of fancy pants stuff on it.
Well, that's another thing I'm told, you know, and is that when you lease, you tend to get, you know, for the same amount of money that you probably, you know, be paying if you bought one, you can get a much more better appointed vehicle. And part of the reason for that is that, you know, the residual is better on a loaded car than it is on a Spartan car. So you can often get, you know, many levels up or, you know, several, you know, a few levels up from what you might have normally gotten in creature features that you might not have otherwise sprung for, but it pays in a lease because the residual value will be higher and therefore the lease payments stay down. So, that's always been the case. I noticed that when this last car I bought, because I bought right at the worst possible time, there were no cars to be had. What cars were there were being sold. There were no leases. But I'm thinking seriously about going in for a new one. Although this car is perfect. I mean, it's only got 26,000 on it, and it checks every box for us. So I don't know why I really need to go in and get it. I got a 7-year bumper-to-bumper Ford warranty on it. By the way, well, you're leasing, so it doesn't matter. But if you wait till after you buy a Ford and then go buy the extended warranty, Ford warranty from, there's two dealers. There's one out east and there's one right here in Michigan. But if you buy your extended warranty through them, it's actually kind of a bargain and really worth it. And it's transferable, so it helps with the resale and all that. But I digress, you're leasing, so that doesn't matter. But, good deal. I'll have to swing by and check it out.
Yeah, one of the cool features is it has five cameras on it. So when you put it in backup mode, you have obviously the backup camera on display, but the other half of the display is an image all the way around your vehicle of everything around you as you're backing up, which when you got grocery carts or whatever, or people parking too close around you or whatever, it can be pretty handy. I'm really liking that.
Man, I wish I would have had that when this thing was brand new. I was over at Meijer's getting my Meijer points, and so I went to the, you know, the passenger side was away from the store, so I came up to the back, popped the hatch, threw the groceries in the hatch. The cart corral was between me and the Meijer's, so I still wasn't on the left side of the car. I went and put the cart away, and then I got in the driver's side, still wasn't ever over on the passenger side. And I started to back up, and all of a sudden I hear, like that, and I stopped real quick. Somebody had taken one of those little baskets, and they had it right up underneath my passenger mirror. And, you know, and I couldn't see it. And luckily, it just left some very, you know, light, like, rubs in the paint that I was able to get rubbed out. Steve, K-U-H-G, pretty much got rid of them for me. I hate cart people anyhow. They're the laziest, the most disgusting humans on earth. You know, they're like that in all, you know, you think it's just a cart. No, it's not. It's how you are. You know, you're just, it's all about you. You have no concerns for anyone else around you. And, you know, I hate cart people. I think it's a personality flaw. And if one got me, they just left their cart there and it was right up underneath my mirror, you know, and got my car. Bastard, son of a... I wish I would have known who it was. Anyhow, I digress.
Tell us how you really feel, Sean. Anyway, I heard you throw your call out there earlier, and I had to put something away, and then I tried to come back and give you a quick yell. I'll let you get on with your day. I'm going to head back over to Menards here pretty soon again to get my cardio walking going. 73 Old Man, WIAM.
Okay, yeah, I'm just on my way home from, I scored a Drake UV3 on Facebook Marketplace, and I just, on my way home with it, and since the 696 being tore up, diverted me down to 8 Mile. Well, I mean, it wanted me to go to the lodge, but I got up on 8, because Ernie's Deli is on that path, so I stopped at Ernie's Deli, got myself a corned beef on rye on an onion roll, and so I'm on my way home right now with my corned beef sandwich and my Drake UV3, and I'm right in front of the old Universal Mall, so I am a minute or two from that glorious home stop. Enjoy your walk. We'll catch you later. W8FU.
K-E-8-W-U-O.
Good morning, John. N-A-W-R-O.
Top of the morning to you. How are you doing today?
Oh, not too bad. Had to go do a little painting at the brother's condo yesterday to take care of a little violation, a little chip of paint on the outside of his door wall. So that was fun. Not too bad, though. How about yourself, sir?
I got the dog. On the ETX code plus. Trying to get one of the cutting up dynamic can lifts and kind of doing some long overdue coach plug cleanup work, and kind of changing some settings and pattern, which is the right there. That's the only one I'm not 100% sure is working, because there's no Morse code or anything. Over there. Well, sounds like you were having fun. I was thinking...
John, you started out readable, but I'm afraid that last was just like 50%, if that. Not sure about what you're using to transmit there.
Gotcha. Yeah, using the and
yeah, Motorola's are awesome. Sometimes.
Yeah, copy that. Can just fly over to Statewide 1 or to P25, what's your choice, or we can talk another time. NAWRO.
Let's try P25 real quick.
QSY, of course, naturally that last one was fine, but QSY, P25, NAWRO.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Hello from Novi.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
This is KFA GQN monitoring.
KFA FQN NHCR on TC8.
I caught the first part of the call sign, KFA F, and then I don't know the rest. Can you say it again, please?
This is N8DZR, November 8th, Bravo, Zulu, Romeo. I was trying to raise KF8FQN. Over.
I don't know if I was getting in. W8DZR, KF8FQN. I haven't heard FQN out here in a while. I was actually on the Richmond. Okay, confirm,
is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Golf, Quebec, November, monitoring.
Where's the KFA GQN? This is KE, by the way, I'll tell you.
KFA, didn't catch the rest. Can you use the phonetic alphabet, please?
Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray. The name here is Dean.
Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray. I got you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Just sitting in the parking lot at work, waiting to start my shift. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good as well. Rainy day. Today is actually my first day using my ham radio. I just got my call sign assigned to the FCC this morning.
I would get a better radio with more power and a bigger antenna, because you guys are very quiet.
Yep, this is an intro radio. Dipping my toes into the hobby.
Yeah, and I'm using a STM300D 50 watt mobile with a Browning 180 antenna. I should be doing pretty decent.
Oh yeah, I got you. Loud and clear from Royal Oak here. I don't know where the repeater is for this one.
Well, congratulations on your ticket today. That's awesome. Your signal's clear. I can read you. I just have some buzzing on your signal. I'm not 100% sure what that's from, but you're still getting in good. KE8LAX.
Yeah, this radio has the stock rubber ducky antenna. It's the cheapest radio you can get, the Baofeng UV5R $15 radio. Just kind of wanted to see what the hobby is all about, but definitely looking possibly to get some higher power. Well, first, it's definitely a better antenna for this handheld.
I started in the same spot with the same radio. A better antenna is definitely a big help. I really like putting the SMA adapters on them and using a signal stick or something similar to a signal stick for those radios, and they do pretty decent. I have another variant of that radio, which is the 10-watt variant, and that works pretty decent.
Yeah, the signal stick is exactly what I was looking at. I was overhearing some other people talk on the other local repeaters, and they mentioned the same antenna. What's the model name of that 10-watt HP unit that you were talking about?
Stand by just a moment, and I will take a look. It's I think mine's from Kid Radio, but it's the UV5R. I think it's UV5RHP or something like that. Give me just a moment, I'll look. Zero operation, alpha returning. I'm not finding the Kid Radio version that I have, but I've had it quite a while. But it looks like Baofeng has an updated version of the UV5R. It's called the 5RM. It's a 10-watt, and it looks like the average price is about 45 to 50 bucks.
Get it for 23 bucks on Amazon.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. Kind of see how much I get intrigued with the hobby, though. Right now it's pretty cool, for sure. Like, a new antenna and see the different stars there, and then go from there.
WAEAP, I don't care. They're so cheap, I just buy every new one that comes out. So, if you have any questions, let me know. I mean, none of them are perfect, but some are definitely better than others. And pluses and minuses, but you can get a pretty good radio for 50 bucks.
I 100% agree with you there. You don't... expensive radio is nice. I like my Yaesu mobile that I'm using, but you don't have to spend crazy money to be in the hobby. Even with mobiles, I was using a Sightline C 50-watt mobile for a long time there, and it got me through the hobby, and it gave me enough power that I was able to get in wherever I wanted to. So, and I think I only spent $100 for that radio.
You guys pick up these units at like eBay, Amazon, or are there local markets around here that sell you radios?
Not that I know of. Pretty much Amazon. I would trust Amazon because you can return it the next day for free. Just drop it off at any UPS store. You get it from China, you gotta wait forever, and then returning it's a pain.
Yeah, I mean, there's some local swaps and stuff around, but you have to, I typically, if I'm gonna look for something like that, I will usually look at like Facebook Marketplace, or I will, I'll check out the local club swaps. But other than that, like you said, Amazon is usually your best friend. KT8LAX.
Hey LAX, why are you buzzing so loud? Sounds like you got an angry bee in the background.
I'm not 100% sure. I think that might possibly be the repeater, because I'm getting that on everybody else's signal as well.
Where are you? What link are you using?
I'm currently in Mount Clemens on 20 watts of power coming into the FBI Warren machine.
That's weird. Well, that's weird because when you unkey, the buzzing goes away, but the repeater's still keyed up. You know how the repeater kind of hangs for a few seconds? So when you unkey, the buzzing goes away. So it doesn't sound like it's coming from the repeater.
Copy that. I appreciate the heads up. I'll have to check my antenna and my connections. Thank you.
Try the Mount Clemens repeater. If you're in Mount Clemens, why aren't you on the Mount Clemens repeater?
Are we talking about the UMP?
Yeah, because your signal in the Warren doesn't sound good at all. It's the Warren repeater that's causing problems.
How about now, KE8LAX on the UMP?
Yep, perfect. The Warren repeater's causing problems.
Copy that. I appreciate it. I'm going to step out, start my shift. I start at 5, but I will catch you guys later. I appreciate it. And to the new ham out there, I forgot your call already. I apologize. But congratulations on your ticket, and hopefully we'll catch you on the air soon. This is KE8LAX. I'll be clear.
KE8LAX? Yeah, this is KF8. QN. I got that with the new ham radio. I appreciate it. 73.
Yeah, it sounds like one of the receivers, because when everybody unkeys, the transmitter gets, you know, silent, but when people are keyed up, it has a buzzing. I think it's in the receiver. Anyhow, catch you later, LAX, and I'll talk to you later. W8EAP.
This is KF8TQN PO Box .8 Golf Quebec, November. A generic question to anyone out there that's listening: does this repeater have a net at a time this week?
KE8WUO.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KF8FQN, this is KE8WUO. Were you asking about a net on here recently?
KE8WUO? Yeah, I was asking about the net. I don't know if it's going to pick up the signal that someone might have answered
if they did. Gotcha, okay. So There's a couple nets. I think there's a youth net that a young new ham Wyatt runs sometimes or takes part in. I'm not exactly sure. I don't always hear that one. But then there is occasional nets for Skywarn that have been coming on this frequency, on this linked network. And then there's been ARPSC nets. But those are the only ones that I'm aware of. And then I don't know if you know, but it's kind of a decent resource. If you go to the MacombARPSC.org website, there's a nets section, and you can click on other nets, and it lists every net in the area, basically. And it has it broken up by, like, the daily nets versus, you know, nets that are only on Sunday, nets that are only on Monday, and gives you the frequency, and I try to put a link to that net organization. So you might check that out.
I was not familiar with that. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, no problem. It's what we put up there. It's a pretty good little website. There's code plugs on there. There's, you know, you can get the weather. You can see stuff about Skywarn on there when a net is happening and kind of see what condition we're in. And there's all kinds of stuff on there. So it's kind of a decent website, hopefully. But and then I assume you probably know about the W8CMN website with all the information about all the linked repeaters in Michigan.
No.
Yeah, so your last signal came in kind of broken and a little hard to read, but it sounded like you said no. Then there might have been a question in there, but I couldn't quite hear. If you go to w8cmn.net, on that page, you can see there's like an analog section, and if you click on like VHF, it'll show you all the VHF repeaters and where they're connected, and that would be the MI2 network. And then there's the UHF section, and that covers MI1, which we're technically connected to now. So you can see, you know, there's Mount Clemens, that's the KC8 UMP that Dean was on earlier, and a bunch of other repeaters that are spread out across the state that are good to know about. The DMR page is probably the most impressive. It has, 30 DMR repeaters and shows where they're all linked, and you get all these little pin drops all over the state. So that's a real cool one. Definitely check that out. But it's a real good website for kind of knowing what's around you and what to use when you're traveling about.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, appreciate it. This is KFA-DQN. I'm going to drop out here. 73s, thank you.
All right, 73s. Have a good day. KE8WUO. I think I heard it was your birthday. Happy birthday.
I guess it's my ham birthday. I got my ham radio license today. I got my call sign from the FCC this morning.
Okay, yeah, gotcha. I missed that. Sorry. Well, happy ham birthday. I'm glad to hear you out here. So, all right. Have a good day. KE8WUO.
KE3QCS Mobile calling the new ham on frequency.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Golf, Quebec, November. I didn't catch your call sign.
Echo 3, Golf Charlie here. Tim from Windsor, just saying hello to the new guy on frequency.
Hello. Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
I've just been trying out a couple of the local repeaters. I've had my little HT for a couple weeks, but I've been listening in, of course, not talking at all, but it's cool to finally get out there and, you know, get my voice on the air, so.
All right, good to hear you. You can log your first DX, I think, yes.
Yeah, I guess being here in Detroit makes that easy, right? Can I get the call sign one more time, please?
Roger that. Victor Echo 3, Tango Charlie Sierra. DE3, Tim's call sign. Over.
DE3, TCS, Victor Echo 3, Tango Charlie Sierra. Tim, I got you. I appreciate it. This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Golf, Quebec, November, Nick Norello. It's nice talking to you, 73.
7-3 there, Nick, you're off to a good start. Bit of hobby, it's a great one. DE3, TCS Mobile.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Piece of cake.
There you are.
Okay, 10:20 it is. All right, I'll let you back at it. Talk soon. W8D.
Yeah, I mean, it's nitpicky, but that kind of brings it in on the radio list connections port, which is, in fact, what it is, right? The other, if I keep a published one, it'll probably be 002, but I'm really trying to move towards this one. So, all right, we'll be around. WFU.
WAB.
Hey, what does repeater phone to repeater phone sound like? W8VD, W8FU. Oh, I see a John hanging in the VoIP room.
Not here.
No one here but us chickens. Yeah, I've been slowly working on punch list items. So, got the push notifications running again, and got the got a bunch of stuff done. I keep taking it off my list so I can't look back and see all the great things that I've accomplished. But right now I'm trying to work on some lockdowns. Nothing serious, just trying to direct things where I want them. It's all tedious, right? You gotta do it, like we talked about.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I've been working on code plug for the last couple days. I'll probably be working on it a while more tonight. Anthony keeps getting me these APXs, and this one's VHF and 7800. That one's UHF and 7800. And you know, I've been just kind of cloning my APX 8000 over, but then you got to clean up all the invalid fields that, you know, it's either VHF or UHF, so I have to delete one. And the way my zones are, they're all mixed with VHF, UHF, you know, all over the place. And so now I'm kind of cleaning up my code plug to make it easier to separate into VHF and UHF, and then I'll build the dynamic zones. And, yeah, I'm kind of rethinking everything. It's kind of fun. K-E-A-W-E-O.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, I mean, it's frustrating. It's fun. It's like a puzzle, you know, so I get it. But we do that all the time, you know, like we, you know, you see the logic in something until you have to do something like you're doing. And then all of a sudden you lay things out in a certain way that make perfect sense, but you didn't see it, you know. So, and Phil's start to see that too. You know, Phil's real quick to pick the stuff up, and he's been burning the midnight oil on the ATX software the last week, and he's coming along quickly. But he's learning all about the systems and personalities and all that other good stuff. I don't think he's ran into one of them ones yet where you have an error that you can't correct, that it's grayed out and it won't let you correct it. Those are the best.
Yeah, those are always fun. I just save like 9,000 times a day, and then if I ever get in a situation where that happens, I can always revert. But yeah, every time I save, I change the time in the file, and I could probably show you 300 different code plugs just based on the time of when it was made. And because I've had problems with CPS crashing, and so then you lose hours worth of work, which is always fun. But this has actually been really good. You know, I learned a lot about the APX code plugs and got really good at it in the past. But the extra time I'm taking in this one and organizing things is going to be, you know, a big help for me. So I got all my voice announcements all written out so I can update all mine. But first I have to iron down the code plug real well so that the voice announcements are easier to apply and I find out exactly what I'll end up with. Yeah, so far so good. Fun times. Sounds like you're having fun too.
Yeah, well, I finally figured out what that SSL certificate thing, what I was doing wrong, of course. I knew what the problem was. I just couldn't get the web server on the hub to accept the SSL certificate. I got this software package that keeps it updated, even, you know, in the, but I couldn't get the web servers yet, and then I figured out, you know, and it wasn't obvious, there wasn't anywhere to, you gotta know how to form your question to get your answer, right? But it turned out that there was a file where you let it know what the DDNS is that I'm using, so that when I go ahead and I install the certification, it all matches. And after that was a simple thing I was missing, just putting my DDNS information in this known domains file, I guess, or whatever. That's not the name of it, but regardless, that was the that was what had to happen. And I'll probably forget about it the next time I have to do it. This thing is all working really good now. I'm about ready to do a full-blown backup on it. And in its current state, it's pretty much There's a couple of little things I want to get worked out. And then once I've got those worked out, I'm going to image this thing. Probably just do up another 50-70 in its likeness and keep it in an iron vault and locked up.
Yeah, that probably would be a good idea, is once you get it to that point, you need that, you need an off-site storage, you know, you need to save the backup in a different building, so you're covered if, you know, anything catastrophic happens at one of the locations. But yeah, well, that's good. It's a good feeling to get something to a point where you can create an image of it and duplicate it and store it off site. That's a good feeling. So it's never ending though. I'm sure there's going to be 12,000 more projects behind it.
Yep. Well, I don't know if you're going to be in here for a bit, but I'm going to jump out here, go grab some chow, try to figure out what the wife wants, and then probably get in here. That's a good thing about these chilly, wet days. I don't feel bad about sitting in here getting all these punch list items knocked out because it's not like I could be out there doing the lawn. All right. I'll be in here playing. Maybe I'll jump in one of the conference bridges later or something like that so I can pound away and I don't have to focus on the talks or anything. But for now, I'm going to go grab some chow. KE8 Egg McMuffin, W8FU.
Oh, you got me cracking up over here. This is KE8WUO, Egg McMuffin, and I like turtles.
TFAF2N, listening.
What are you doing out this late, Tom? Cliff over here, NATAF.
Oh, I was out at a run yesterday and did some afflictions with the software and MAC addresses and IP addresses. I was there yesterday for 12 hours and got part of it up and I was going to go back Tuesday, but it needed to be done, so boss called me in today and said, hey, we got to get this done kind of thing. Customers escalating it, so he called my coworker who was on vacation. He came in from vacation and we just got done. Been there since about 8:30. Got done about 9:30. So got it up and running except for two, maybe three pieces of equipment, but that's something I can call up on Tuesday.
Jeez. They were desperate to get that one done, I guess. Sorry, your coworker had to come back from vacation. At least you guys get some buku money out of that one, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a big paycheck the week after next.
Oh, yeah, with the holiday weekend and all that. But at least now you get what, tomorrow, Monday off at least?
Yep, Sunday, Monday. Then going back there on Tuesday to try to figure out the other four doors. And then I'm off on Wednesday. My wife and I got a baseball game we're going to. And then Thursday, Friday.
All righty then. Which game are you going to see?
Angels and the Tigers, of course. I'm sure they're not, you know, they're a couple games behind, of course, if not more. But I'm going to be there early because there's a T-shirt that my daughter wants. She's the one that bought the tickets.
And maybe if you get there early enough, you'll get some decent parking, too. You won't have to shuttle or walk too far.
Well, my wife is handicapped, so handicapped parking, wherever we can find it. Hopefully there's no spots reserved, but I'll look it up tomorrow in regards to, I think I could pre-purchase a parking pass or something like that.
Yeah, if you get to do that in advance or something like that, I would definitely make sure that you had a spot reserved, especially for a handicapped one.
Yeah, I gotta go online and see.
I am definitely not the person to ask. I've been to that stadium exactly once in my life since they built it, and that was because somebody at the local hall had a bunch of tickets they wanted to get rid of. They were basically just giving them away. It was like, yeah, this is for my church's men's group, and, you know, we got four extra tickets here. So, you know, like, I snatched them, and I and a couple of friends went down and watched the game. We parked far enough away that we took the, the people mover to get over by the stadium, but we parked closer to Greektown because we were planning on going to dinner there after the game.
Yeah, we'll find a spot. I said I was going to go online and find handicap parking by the Tiger Stadium, and we'll go from there. And then I can just reserve the spot, I guess.
And I definitely hope that works out for you. You got me thinking about all the times when I was a kid going down to the original Tiger Stadium and watching the games, because that was back when sitting in the bleachers was actually affordable.
Sorry, I was trying to get an orange on my lunch bag, case you kid Joe. Yeah, I went last year to the game and took my coworker, and he paid for parking, and we parked downtown in the, whatever that is, that tunnel that's right there, which is pretty cool. And then we walked to the game. This time, like I said, we're going to try and find something closer for her. And that'll be maybe the third time I've been to the stadium.
Yeah, all of it has just gotten just, you know, too expensive to go do. When you end up spending $1,000 to sit in only halfway decent seats and eat, maybe get a couple drinks of the game and stuff like that, I'm just sitting there going, that's just ridiculous. That's too much money for the amount of entertainment I'm getting out of it.
Oh, I agree. I mean, usually I get a pretzel, a hot dog, and a bag of peanuts, and a drink. You know, so I'll treat my wife. Actually, we got to get there early. Game starts at 6:30, but we got to be there around 4, I think. And, because it's first come, first serve on these T-shirts, so go from there, and then if she wants a jersey or something, I'm going to get one.
They ought to, they ought to make it a condition of any funding the government gives them for stadiums or any breaks they get on property taxes. They ought to make it a condition that they have a certain percentage of affordable seating. I can't believe we fund these things with our tax money, and then they, and the vast majority of us are priced right out.
That is definitely one of my nits that I think about that too. We paid for that place and we can't afford to go.
100% agree. I went last year with free tickets. The tickets were $250 a piece. I got them from someone. And you got $10 off for a free hot dog and a free drink, and I didn't even know it. But still, and the parking was like $45 or $50 or something like that. It's ridiculous. Just going over to Jimmy John's Field, it's $60 for a ticket.
This will probably get me going as bad as people leave their shopping carts in the parking lot. back to trying to code. Bang my head against the wall. It's not as painful as thinking about this stuff.
Just breathe, Sean. Just breathe. Just breathe. You can do this. But yeah, that kind of pricing is why I don't go to any sporting events except maybe Jimmy John's, and that's only because Anna works at McLaren and they've got a section reserved. Concerts and stuff, gave up going to those years ago too because it's just too darn expensive to go see the show. I want to watch live music, I'll go find a local club with a decent band.
Oh yeah, I mean I got tickets for Lions one time. That was boring. I mean, they were losing, and I'm like, I'm out of here. And we left, and right across the street was an M&M concert, so we just stood out there and listened to them for a bit. You know? But yeah, the prices for tickets are just over the top.
Ah, well. I just don't go, and I don't usually give much thought. I was at a Red Wing game recently. But my kids picked up the tab for that, so I didn't feel the pain, except for the concessions. But we had a good time. I don't know if it was as good as the price dictated, but it was good. I'm going to get back to crunching here, though. I am doing some punch list items here, and I have got a bunch of them done today, and I'm down. Hello? All right, did we drop?
No, you're there, Sean.
Oh, okay. I was back monitoring myself on, must have been my node that dropped. That's interesting. All right, anyhow, I'm going to get back to what I'm doing here and try to figure these couple last little bugaboos on the new hub. I'll be listening. Guys, wind me up again. Pull me back in. Oh, yeah. Yeah, looks like my node rebooted for some reason. W8FU.
Yeah, those automatic reboots on anything and auto-refreshes and stuff like that, they've got to go out there. That's kind of annoying, too. I was like, hey, I was reading that, and poof, it's gone.
Speaking of nodes, I've got to redo mine and put in the new node for FBI. I haven't done that yet. I was going to do it today, but obviously I couldn't. Money was more important.
Always is these days. Always is, seems like. That's kind of annoying, too.
I really didn't want to, but my coworker says, you know, we got to get this done, you know, what's going to happen? I'm like, yeah, all right. He's like, what time are you going to be there? 9-ish? I don't know, maybe 10. And then I got up. I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go and start writing down all this paperwork and typing this up and writing that out. That's what I did. And he called me up. I said, I'm already here. He goes, well, you should have called me. I'm like, that's all right. I'm just walking through, writing down paperwork and everything. So we got there about 10 o'clock, but we're writing down. So we really didn't mark our times down. We're doing 9:30 or 9 to 9:30 or something like that. Figure something out. We always do. Boss don't care as long as we got it done. Okay, that dropped off. You still there, Cliff?
Yeah, I'm still here, Tom. It's just that Brian, any BZR, he called out to me over on DMR.
Huh, I'll just meet you guys over there then. KKKJO.
All right, copy that, Tom. QSO, or QSY.
Oh, brother.
Hello?
88 CCW, Tessa.